I want to share with you something that I think is relevant to us, both in a natural sense with all the things that are going on in our country today, but also in a spiritual sense in what God might be doing in our own hearts and minds as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been in a building that has a low roof, the doorways are low, and over the doorway you might have a sign like this: watch your head, right? Now, obviously, the warning there is be careful or you're going to bang your head on the doorway. And we know that head injuries can be serious, and so we it's good to protect our heads. That's why in certain sports, they wear helmets. If you're on a motorcycle, it's a good idea to wear a helmet to protect your head, because head injuries can be very debilitating. However, I think Christians need a different sign, a sign like this, which says, watch your mind. I think many Christians are oblivious to how today's cultural ideas, philosophies, lies, deceptions are infecting our minds, leading to ungodly thoughts and ultimately to ungodly conclusions, distorting our perspective of reality, enabling us to embrace ideas that are not in alignment with truth or in alignment with the principles of the kingdom of God. So what I want to talk about this morning is the salvation of our minds. Now, I'll explain more about that as we go on. But I believe our current cultural moment highlights this with the incredible amount of misinformation and lies that are being thrown to us almost on a daily basis. Politicians, news media have never been so, in my opinion, dishonest and brazen in their lying and misinformation. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "For as a man thinks within himself, so is he." How we think will determine how we respond to life. How we think will determine how we respond to this particular moment in time and all the things that we're going through as a nation. And our thoughts can either lead us into truth or they can lead us into deception. I think we all recognize that ideas shape the course of human history. But bad ideas have victims. And so we're seeing this, I think we're struggling with this as a nation today. Now, in some of the comments that I'm making, I do not want to belittle the real pain that some people are experiencing in this cultural time that we're in. I also do not want to overlook that there's much room for improvement in our national story. This is, again, my opinion. Not those of the church. What's the disclaimer you make? This is my opinion. I do believe the peaceful protests or peaceful demonstrations that we've seen and the efforts to improve who we are as a nation have been hijacked by radical elements whose goal is to remove and destroy the freedoms that we have as a nation. Their goal, to me, is not to solve the problems that we have. And those elements are taking advantage of these demonstrations are promoting a spirit of lawlessness and a disregard for authority. And one of the marks of the end times is a spirit of lawlessness. And it's frightening how much we see of that in our nation today. Now, to get to kind of focus on what I want to say this morning, in the midst of these demonstrations and protests, we've seen the burning of Bibles. Of course, the media doesn't make a big deal over this. We've also seen an increased number of attacks on churches. Our sacred ideas, some of the foundational principles of our nation, like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to own personal property, are under attack today. Freedom of speech has come to mean you can speak if you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, shut up or I'll punch you in the face. Freedom of religion has come to mean you can worship in your home, you can believe what you want in your home, but I don't want to see that stuff in the public square. There's even a movement today to take away the ownership of personal property. I understand that Teen Vogue magazine had an article decrying the evil of owning personal property. And so we see so many things under attack today. Governors and mayors are blocking churches from worshiping together. COVID-19 or not, to me, that's just blatantly unconstitutional. If you can stop worship for a virus, then you can shut down churches for more nefarious reasons. I think we're witnessing the clash of two very different ideologies in the world today. And what makes these times so precarious is that ungodly thoughts are being obscured by partial truths. Something can be true at one level, but after digging into it, it is clear that it is not truth. You understand what I'm saying? When you look at something on the surface, it can appear to be true, but when you dig into it, it is not truth. And there's a big difference. Young people are being idealistic. Young people tend to be idealistic and have these wonderful ideas, but they're being driven by ideologies that are very ungodly. Bill Johnson said something very interesting. He said, ideals can become demonically inspired thoughts that may appear true but contradict the truths of God's word. Again, somebody once said, all shallow thinking is clear. We must measure everything by the word of God. We're in a battle for the heart and mind of our nation. And if this is true in the conscience of a nation, it is also true in the conscience of the church. What we believe, what we think about God, ourselves, others, and our circumstances is going to determine how we live our lives and how we respond to this cultural moment that we're in. As there is an intense battle for the minds and citizens of our nation, I believe there is an intense battle in the heavenlies for the minds of the sons and daughters of God. The mind, M-I-N-D, can be a minefield, M-I-N-E. The mind can be a minefield, a place where it's easy to step into a thought or an idea that seems right on the surface but leads us into a pit of ungodly thinking. Now, as Christians, we understand the salvation of our spirit man, that we're born again in the twinkling of an eye. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. However, the word of God also says in Philippians 2:12 that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation not only takes away our sins, it's also the transformation and the renewing of our minds and our thinking and our thoughts. Christine Kane said this. She said, Jesus saved my soul, but the word of God saved my mind. Jesus saved my soul, but the word of God saved my mind. And it's that quote that kind of set me on this journey this morning. Being born again, as incredible as it is not the end goal, but the beginning of an eternal process. That's why Paul says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Root awakening, God is not at work in our lives for our good pleasure, but for His divine purposes. Amen. Jesus Christ came as our Savior, but He also came as our Master and our Lord. As Savior, He opened the door for us to eternal life. But as Lord, He began a lifelong work inside of each and every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says, for those who have turned to Christ, He's predestined us to become conformed to the image of His Son. Think about what that means. The process of being conformed to be like Christ can sometimes be very uncomfortable because God wants to invade every area of our heart and our mind and reshape it and bring it into alignment with His mind and His heart. God performed an incredible miracle when we were born again. And I mean that in this sense. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says that as a believer, we have been raised up with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As a believer, you and I, our spiritual reality is that we're sitting in heavenly places with God. That's who we are. And we've been set there to rule with Christ. And that's further illustrated in 1 Corinthians 6:3 when Paul says, do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the matters of this life? Think about what that means, about who we are as sons and daughters of the living God. We have been raised up and seated with Christ, and we will judge the angels, and how much more will we be able to judge the matters of this life? And this is why it's so important to me that we get this right. And we learn how to think like Christ thinks so we can take our rightful place in His kingdom. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants to change how we understand reality. In our current cultural crisis, whether we're talking about racism or police abuse or transgenderism or abortion, we need to know the mind of God. There's all kinds of ideas and all kinds of conspiracy theories being thrown around, but the bottom line is what is in God's heart and what is in God's mind. And it's only from this platform of understanding the heart and mind of God that we can take action. To take action from any other platform will not lead to eternal, lasting results either for ourselves or for our society. Amen. Now, I believe the Bible has a lot to say about every single issue that we're dealing with as a culture. And I don't think any of this comes as a surprise to God. However, it is not enough just to apply a biblical principle to some situation or cultural event. We must know what God wants us to do with that truth or that principle in that particular situation. You understand what I'm saying? You just can't take a Bible principle and apply it here, here, and here, and here without knowing why you're applying it or what God's heart is in that particular situation concerning that truth or that reality. I want to look at the verse I just read a moment ago, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And let me read it again. It says this. Now, I'm going to go through this verse in a moment from the bottom of the verse to the top of the verse, from the end of the verse to the beginning of the verse. Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. All right, so. First, or in this case, last. God's will is always good and acceptable and perfect. Regardless of what you and I might face or deal with in life, God's will is always good, acceptable, and perfect. It does not change with our circumstances or anything that we might face. Ephesians 5:12, Paul says, look, don't be stupid, but understand what the will of God is. And so it's important that we have this relationship with God where we can talk to Him and He speaks to us and we can understand His will for our lives. But sometimes things happen in our lives that we do not understand. Sometimes things happen in our lives that are painful. Some things happen in our lives that don't go the way we think they should. But that does not change the fact that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. Sometimes faith is living with the divine revelation that we have, with the mysteries that we cannot explain. God's thoughts go way beyond our limited thinking. Bill Johnson also said this. He said, when we submit the things of God to the mind of man, unbelief and religiosity are the results. When we submit the things of God, when we take the things and the truths of God and the principles of God, and we run them through the mind of man and filter them through the mind of man, what results is unbelief and religiosity, religiosity being religion without the power and presence of God. But when we submit the mind of man, the thinking of man, to the things of God, we end up with faith and a renewed mind. There's a big difference. It's too often that we're filtering the things of God through the mind of man, and we end up with a very skewed perspective of reality. So, first, God's will is always good and acceptable and perfect. Second, we want a renewed mind so we can prove what the will of God is. That word prove means to approve, affirm, or agree with God that His will for our lives is truth, it's good, acceptable, and perfect, and that we will embrace it and walk in it. Never mistake obedience of belief, or understand this, obedience of belief is not the same thing as obedience of practice. You can believe anything you want to believe, but if you don't live it out in your life, it doesn't do any good. So a belief has to become practice in the life of a believer. So let me ask this question. One thing, when things do not go our way, does our response to that situation in that moment demonstrate that we approve of God's will in that situation at that time in our lives? There have been times in my life that my response to something does not demonstrate that I think God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. In fact, I am quite at odds with what He thinks is good, acceptable, and perfect. And yet I must learn to bow my head and my heart to the eternal King. So, second, we want a renewed mind so we can prove what the will of God is. Third, we approve of God's will by allowing God to transform us by the renewing of our minds. An unrenewed mind does not approve of the will of God. If you find yourself constantly struggling to agree that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect, then you might ask yourself, is my mind unrenewed in some areas, and does it need to be renewed? Being transformed is to take on the image of Christ. A verse that's always spoken a lot to my heart is 1 Corinthians 15:49. It says, just as I have borne the image of the earthy, I will also bear the image of the heavenly. I don't know about you, but I have borne the image of the earthly a lot in my life. And I want to bear the image of the heavenly. I want to carry the image of God with me wherever I go. I want to be a fragrant aroma when I'm around people. I want to have, as it talks about in Isaiah 54, I think, the mouth of a disciple that can speak words that brings blessings to weary people. The mind is either renewed or it is at war with God. The unrenewed mind has a mindset. It has a viewpoint. It has a bent to it that is hostile to God. Hostile to God's authority and hostile to God's supremacy. The renewal process is God bringing our moral and spiritual vision into alignment with His. So many times I think we expect God to move from where He is to where we are. But God is not movable in His principles and truth. If anybody's got to shift, we have to shift. We need to carefully examine what we believe about this life against what the Bible says. I believe many are deceived by today's philosophies and the many lies and misinformation that surround us. And whether we're talking about racism or police abuse or abortion or infanticide or homosexuality or transgenderism or polygamy or polyamorous relationships they're talking about now, none of these will be resolved by solutions that do not come from heaven. For example, I believe that many solutions that people are trying to implement concerning racism are really producing more separation between the races instead of bringing healing to the situation. There is a demonic wisdom that the world has embraced. James 3:15 says that this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. It is not the wisdom of God. It will not bring life. It will not bring hope. It will not set free. It will not bring healing to our nation. James 3:17, however, says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. In all the cultural issues that we're facing today, we must carefully examine the claims of politicians, of experts, of news pundits, and unfortunately of athletes and celebrities, all who seem to want to say something in this situation, but we must examine them in light of God's word. Now, it's not my place to tell people how to live, but do not distort the truth of God's word to support your personal moral agenda. Men are masters of justification by taking the result that they want and backing it into Scripture. I can find a Bible verse for anything you want, and it'll justify whatever thought I have if I use it out of context or erroneously. So be very careful not to distort the truth of God's word to support your own personal moral perspective or agenda. Find out what the heart and mind of God is in that situation. We do not live in a vacuum. Something will shape our mind. Something will shape our thinking. Something will shape our moral values. Something will shape our sensibilities. And if we do not allow God's word to inform our thinking will be shaped by the philosophies of this age in which we live. And it's important to understand that the renewing of our mind is a continual, ongoing process that we must allow to happen. We can resist what God wants to do in our lives. We can hold back the revelation He wants to give us. We must allow God to work in this process of renewing our mind and renewing our perspective and thoughts and understanding of reality. We need to see the world through His glasses, not through the glasses of man. Let me ask this question. How much of my life or my thinking or our life or our thinking reflects the values of this world rather than the values of the kingdom of God? It is so easy to listen to all that's going on and all the noise that's going on and somehow begin to see that that's reality. Well, that's true. If there's so much out there that's not true, it's not truth, it does not align itself with God or the principles of His kingdom. And so I want my life and I want my thinking to reflect the values of God's kingdom. So, the third thing was, we approve of God's will by allowing God to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Now, the fourth and last part of that verse, or the first part of that verse, is we are not to be conformed to this world. If we allow ourselves to be shaped by the philosophies of this age, it makes us useless to God. God cannot use a man or a woman whose mind is not subject to the will of God and subject to the Word of God. And that comes not just, that comes both out of Scripture and out of a relationship with God where we are in constant communion with God, talking with Him and allowing Him to talk to us. Allowing Him to enlighten our minds and our thoughts. So let me just say a few words in conclusion. What leads us to truth is not the psychology or the philosophy of today. It is, and it only is, the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you continue in, ongoing process, remain in, continue in, stay in my Word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And if you continue in, remain in, stay in the Word of God, you will know the truth, and it is the truth that will then make you free. You cannot believe a lie and expect to find freedom. Doesn't work. Somebody said, I think if I can get this right, you cannot live by the rules of one kingdom and expect the benefits of another kingdom. We cannot live by the rules of this world and expect the benefits of God's kingdom. And this is why, in my own personal opinion, again, that the sexual moral revolution is doing so much to is bringing so much damage to us than it is bringing freedom. For example, the idea that sex is determined by how one feels does not stand up against either science or the Bible. It is not truth, and it will not eventually lead to people's freedom and happiness. The foundations of today's moral culture are built on lies that will never set people free. The way we live our lives begins with how we think, the way we understand things, the way we view life, the way we understand reality. And that's why the renewing of our mind is so important, to bring our thinking into alignment with the mind of Christ. I want to leave with us four ways to evaluate our thinking. First of all, do we have a single mind? One focused on God over all the other distractions this world has to offer us. Above everything else and all that's going on, a mind that is focused on God above all else can pull yourself up out of all the noise and keep your heart and mind focused on God. Do we have a submissive mind? A mind yielded to the thoughts and principles of God and His kingdom. Do we have a humble mind? A mind that's where we don't see ourselves as the end all of all truth, but we're willing to hear and to learn. Do we have a meek mind? Meekness in the Bible is not weakness. Meekness means that we yield quickly without argument to God and His Word and His reality. That's what meek means. God says yes, I say yes. God says yes, I don't say maybe, well, I don't understand, I don't think so. Meekness means I say yes. I put my stamp of approval on what God has said. I believe some of the stuff that happens in our lives is invited because of erroneous thought patterns that we have allowed in our minds. Do not nurture ungodly thoughts by reviewing them over and over and over again in your mind. When we have ungodly thoughts, whatever it is, unforgiveness or whatever they might be, and we go over them and over them and over again in our minds, We are opening the door for the enemy to establish a stronghold in our minds and in our thoughts. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we are destroying speculations. We're destroying speculations. And we're destroying every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge, the true knowledge of God. And we're taking captive every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living Word. We must take every thought captive to Christ, the living Word of God, and bring that thought into proper alignment with God and His kingdom. If we find a thought in our mind that doesn't align itself with God and His Word, then we must put it out. Set it aside. Do not rehearse it over and over again. A renewed mind is a mind more influenced by the Word of God than by the words of this world. A renewed mind is a mind influenced by the Word of God more than the words of social media, or the news media, or what some celebrity might say. A renewed mind is a mind more influenced by the Word of God than any and every other voice that's out there. A renewed mind is our defense against deception. We will never understand what's a lie and what's truth, what's misinformation and what's real, if we do not have the mind of Christ, which comes from the Scripture and understanding of God and His Word. So a renewed mind is our defense against deception. A renewed mind enables us to discern between good and evil. We live in a society where that which is good is thought to be evil, and that which is evil is thought to be good. But a renewed mind enables us to properly judge what is good and what is evil. And a renewed mind empowers us to give godly counsel and wisdom to others. If your mind is not renewed and you're speaking into the lives of others or spouting whatever you're spouting, it's not going to bring life to them. It's not going to bring hope to them. It's not going to bring eternal consequences to them. But a renewed mind empowers us to give godly counsel and to release wisdom for the benefit of others, to speak blessing and hope over the lives of others. That cannot happen if our mind is unrenewed. So, our challenge then, as believers in Christ, is to learn to think like God thinks, by looking at, studying, and understanding His Word, and listening for His heart as we pursue a relationship with Him. I think this is, I don't know if I have conveyed my thoughts clearly or not, but I think this is an incredibly important truth, principle for us to embrace as believers. So much happens here before it happens here. So much happens here, and suddenly we're acting on it, and the results are not good. We need to examine everything, every thought that we have. We need to ask ourselves, is this God, is it not God? When we hear something on TV or in the news, is this the Lord, is this not the Lord? What is God saying in this situation? And how do I take the principles and truth of Scripture and apply them in this particular situation? How do I take what is death and bring life to it? We need to learn to think like God thinks. A lot of that's going to come through studying His Word, but it's also going to come from listening to His heart as we build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.